how far we got. Before we even start, that is.
We don't know where we are.
Does anybody remember having? Anybody remember having started a process last week of learning some of the basic steps about how to change?
No, we just have discussed that we need to change. We're going over how. Where we are.
Any questions, comments, reactions from last week before we go on? Just want to know what.
So what are we supposed to do with an addiction? Maybe you just say you're better off just knowing the ad stuff and not working on it.
No. I never said that. Chas v'chalila. All I said was is what we spoke about last week is that before you can do anything about it, you first have to recognize the problem, which means get in touch with real. Who am I? Where am I? Okay, and recognize that you really can't do anything about it, because if you could, you would. If you could stop doing that avail that you keep doing. When I use the word addiction, I'm using it very loosely. I also use it very tightly. If you keep doing the same avail, it may not look like an addiction, because, well, I'm not taking drugs and I don't have this addiction, but it's an addiction. I look at things I shouldn't look at. So why don't you stop? So the Gemara actually says it already. This is not my Chiddush. The Gemara says that every day the Yetzer is misgaber elov. The Yetzer has strengthened itself to try and kill the person. La Misa, it says La Misa, he wants to kill you. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help you, lo yochel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't help you, lo yochel. You have to understand, if Chazal say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't help you solve a certain problem, you can't solve the problem. The Gemara says lo yochel, you can't. So that's the acceptance a person has to come to. Is I have this problem, I keep doing this certain thing, or I have this bad mitzvah, or whatever it is. Okay, these are just examples which are, may not demand of anybody in the room who is even shechti any of these examples, but we've all got our examples. There's no one sitting in this room that doesn't have problems that they keep tripping up in, things they want to change, midas, etc., etc. Okay. So the Gemara says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't help you, lo yochel. So that's the acceptance a person has to come to, is I can't do this. I don't have the tools right now to do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu help me, then I can do it. That's the next step. But before you get to that step, okay, you have to first recognize, lo yochel, I can't. That's acceptance. I have this problem, here it is, I have this issue, I have this midah, I have this addiction, whatever you want to call it, and I accept it in a healthy, vibrant way. That's step number one. That's what we spoke about last. Assuming you already know what the ideal is, or you have some idea what the ideal is, otherwise it wouldn't be bothering you. If you thought the ideal was to be angry, like they say out there, you've got to get it off your chest, don't bottle it up. You have to find somebody you can scream at so you can just get it off it's healthy if you don't pent up frustrations and whatever. You've got to go out there and have an anger attack and really take somebody out because of it. So then obviously then you don't have a problem. You're doing good. If you work in Silicon Valley and the fact that you can't have any relationships, so you're completely dulled out to any interpersonal relationships because you sit at a computer for 27 hours a day and you're functioning normally and healthy in that environment, that's great. The only problem is as a functional human being, you have to be able to relate and have relationships. You can't sit with something stuck in your ear staring at a screen the whole day. That's not what a vibrant Jewish life is supposed to look like. But if you're living out there, that's your world, so then your real and ideal are quite nicely synced. You need a personality transfer, but in that world, you actually function quite well. Okay? So assuming you have some sense of what the ideal is, alright? I'm not saying you know what the ideal is unless you've really learned the sugya properly. Learning Torah, and that's why you learn Torah, and that's why you learn Halach, and that's why you learn Muslim, whatever, is to show you what the ideal is. So you're in touch with real, you have some sense of what the ideal is. In other words, there's a direction finding. You know you should be moving towards being more. Let's say your drug of choice is you're a lookaholic. You look at things you shouldn't look at. So you know the ideal is you have to guard your eyes. You've learned the sugyas, you read the books, all about Shemiras Hanayim, etc. And you know where you're supposed to be headed in a certain direction. Right? You might not have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted in the ideal, but you have some good sense of where you're supposed to be. And you've lost a rope, you've lost shalas, whatever. Right? So now how do you go about, once you've got this healthy sense of acceptance, of going from where you are to where you want to get to? Yeah, question.
Yeah, just to clarify, is it his ideal or the ideal?
That's an excellent question. It's a very, very good question. It's going to have to be the ideal.
And that's like, if his ideal is not the ideal, that's
Well, what do you mean? How can you have his ideal not being the ideal?
His crew, obviously. Maybe.
No. We're talking about objectively. What is the Torah say that this person should be striving for? What is the ideal? You can't say, well, my ideal is, because then you're going back to your real. On my level, where I'm holding now, my ideal is 1.5 out of 10. What's the ideal, though? The ideal objective thing is 10. But, and that's what the person's going to get to. He's got to get to 10.
But it, no, but like, is there only one 10 level for all of, like, everyone?
There's a Torah. Ah, you're asking another question. There's a Torah.
Right, no, I'm not, right.
The Torah, so you're asking, is the Torah, what the Torah describes as being ideal, is that for everybody? Well, in an ideal world, yes.
No, the Torah is for everybody, but like I'm saying, like you know, like someone who's coming from like you know, a Baal Tshuva background, someone's coming from like a birth background, someone who has like X type of parents, someone who has X type of parents.
So then you're back playing with real. That's not ideal.
No,
it's real.
But like even
you're asking, how does real and ideal interface with each other?
I'm saying like depending on where you're coming from, your ideal, like you clearly ideal is to be the like a level 10. But a level 10 for someone who's coming from a conservative background and a level 10 for someone who's coming from a...
So you know, the fact that he's coming from a conservative background is real. That's a real dynamic, yeah? Yeah? Now you're asking, how does that impact on ideal? Ideal's ideal.
So let's say the ideal is we want to be the best we can be with Kibbutz Avraham. It's going to be very different if you have conservative parents than if you have religious parents.
But that's based on what's real. Your real...
But the ideal is different based off of where you're real.
No. The ideal is the ideal. Once again, I'm not talking about in how you actually go about practicing it. The way you practice ideal kibbutz avraham is not going to look the same way the way I practice.
The
way I put on tefillin is not going to look the way you put on tefillin. Because we're different. And every Jew has to come and manifest and practice Yiddishkeit in his own unique way. Yeah, but ideal is ideal. The halachas of kibbutz avraham, for example, that are paskin in Shulchan Aruch and paskin all the Svarim or whatever, you're going to have to keep those mitzvah kibbutz avraham.
Right. No, I'm asking if it's going to look different depending on...
It'll look different, yeah, for example. Let's just take a little offside journey here. But I don't want you to get confused. I want to come back to the subject because you're allowing, and this is what I want to discuss today, you're allowing real to impact on ideal, and you're allowing ideal to sort of play around with real. That's an interaction that takes place between real and ideal. We have to understand. That's what you see. That's actually what gave birth to reform and conservatism, is this inability to understand this dynamic between real and ideal. And we make the mistake as well. We do two things wrong on this real ideal scale. If you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should speak to your parents in the third person. That's what it says, yeah? So you shouldn't say, "Hi, father, how are you?" or "Hi, dad, how are you?" You should say, or you shouldn't say, "Dad, would you like a cup of coffee?" You should say, "Would the father like a cup of coffee? Can I get the mother a glass of milk?" or whatever, yeah? That's how you should speak to your parents. So now you're going to say to me, "But hold on 1 second, where I'm coming from, if I was speaking to my parents like that, they'd throw me out the house." They were like, "You'd be disrespectful speaking to your parents like that." Be bordering on like being cynical, right? But it says in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that you have to talk to your parents. So what are you going to do? So you have to understand the difference between Chokim and Mishpatim. Chokim is you have to say Shema Yisrael. You can't cook meat and milk together, yeah? You can cook up a whole bunch of scenarios where cooking meat and milk was unhealthy then because whatever, but today with all our technology and whatever, we discovered that cooking meat and milk is not really so unhealthy, and Chaza has tapeworm, that's why you shouldn't eat Chaza, but today Chaza's all clean, so therefore you can. There's no cheshbonus to make there. That's chok, and you can't eat Chaza, whether you bring me the most sterilized, 100% clean, pure, you know, lean cut, healthy, life-saving piece of Chaza, you can't eat Chaza, toast, you can't eat Chaza. Mishpatim are things like, when you speak to your parents, you should speak to them in a respectful way. In the times of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, whatever, that was a respectful way of speaking. You wouldn't speak to your parents, you know, like, "Hey dad, let's go for a walk." You'd say, "Would the father like to go for a walk?" That's how you spoke. That's how normal people spoke. Is to call their parents sir. Yeah, today if you call your father sir, you know where you'd get it. Yeah? So that's mishpat. That you know, have to know how to apply using shikal adas, which everybody has to have. Okay, you have to use your shikala das to know how to apply those things. So today you have to speak to your parents in a respectful way. What's called respectful today? Whatever's called respectful today. If there is such a thing left today as respect. You understand what I'm saying? So that's mishpat. So in other words, if I'm living in my world where I come from, wherever, so then maybe, yes, we still speak to our parents in the third person. So my ideal kibbutz avraham of speaking respectfully to my parents is going to manifest like that. Yours is going to manifest in a different way. But the ideal is the ideal. You have to speak to your parents in the most ideally respectful way that you can cook up. Yes, in that sense, it's going to be the same. The problem kicks...
How do you know it's a chukka, it's a mishpat?
Torah tells you. That's yeah. So there's one thing clear before we go anywhere. You don't need to ask a shala, and you don't need shikala das, and you don't need to be too intelligent to know what bracha to make on a tomato. Yeah? What bracha do you make on a tomato? Bread for adam. Finish. That's it. Where you need shikala das, and where you need a sense of making judgment calls, okay, is when you have conflicting mitzvahs, conflicting responsibilities, where you're not in an ideal world, okay, and you have to decide, am I going to give up this in order to gain this? What's the bottom line? There you need enormous judgments in shikala das. And that's you, the guys that are learning in Yeshua, that have the ability to learn that. By the way, the Gemara teaches you shikala das by being mashamash chachomim to see how they work it out. You can't go through life in a black and white world. The world is very far from being black and white. You're always in this world of real towards ideal, which is by definition imperfect. Ideal is perfect. You have to remember one thing. The incredible perfection of this world is its imperfection. Get it? Anybody who wants a perfect world, yeah, you're always going to be frustrated and disappointment, because the definition of this world is that it is imperfect. Otherwise Hashem wouldn't need us to perfect it. Olam Haba is the perfect world. This world is a Yetzirah, and there's tumah, and there's darkness, and there's all sorts of negative stuff in this world. Tikkun Olam, if it wasn't broken, you couldn't metaken it. Therefore, the fact that it's broken gives you an opportunity to metaken it. That's what I just said. The imperfection of this world is its perfection.
But then there's a point that we get to when it's.
And then they bury you. When you've reached your perfection, that's it. Then you get transferred to the next world. You don't need you there anymore. That's perfection. Perfection. All the perfect people in this world aren't here anymore.
But there's a point in the world when the world is perfect. Then.
That's Mashiach. That's when Mashiach comes. Mm-hmm. That's Chesamaisim. That's Olam Haba. Then you won't have all these issues anymore. You won't have the job to go about perfecting the world. But as long as the world remains imperfect, it's in its perfect form. Because the tafkid of this world is to fix it. So if it wasn't broken, then there'd be nothing to fix, and it would be very imperfect. We came in this world in order to earn our Olam Haba. Now, if you're in a world that was perfect, there'd be nothing to earn. Then your Olam Haba would once again be eating the bread of shame, which is what Hashem doesn't want. He wants it to get the ultimate goodness. The ultimate goodness when you've earned it, not when you get it for free. Okay. So you're always going to be on this journey of real to ideal. The minute you hit ideal, they move into the next world. That's what happens. You're looking for the perfect girl to marry, okay? There are lots of them on Haram Menuchas. That's where all the perfect people are.
Haram Menuchas?
And you drive into Shlaim, there's that big Pesach Chaim on the right hand side there, whatever. That's where all the perfect people are. But the ones that are still breathing, by definition, have some imperfection. Obviously, there's more Shalom and more Shalom. I assume Rav Elashev is a lot more Shalom than me. Okay, but he still has what to do.
Otherwise, he would be dead.
Yeah. Or he's kept here for our sake. It means he is Shalom. He has reached a certain Shlemus. That's another Sugya. Of course, Bocha keeps Shalom people around in order for that we can benefit from them. Yeah, they're not here for their own sake. They're here for the Klal's sake that you do have by the leaders of the people, of the Jewish people. Fine. But that's not our subject.
Okay. That's our subject.
So like this. So okay. So continue working on acceptance, continue working on getting in touch with real, and the more you're in touch with real, the more healthy you are, the more you understand yourself, the more you know where you're going, the more you know what work needs to be done, the more you realize how much you need a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more you realize how much tefillah becomes an integral part of your tshuva process. There are more than two things. What I want to focus on here is the two things that tend to happen when a person starts working on real in relation to ideal. And this is what I thought you were asking originally, is we do one of two things. We start getting very nervous, playing with our pens. Now, what we do is like this. We either recognize that the gap between real and ideal is too big for me. And as a result of that, we do two things. We either project ourselves further along the path than we really are. Bolshevists do that all the time. Or we lower the ideal to make it a lot more comfortable for me. That's what reform and conservative and all the isms out there try and do. It's too difficult for me to ever get to be like Avraham Avinu. Yeah. So therefore, we just lower the standard and say, no, you don't have to be like Avraham Avinu. You have to be like your uncle Bob. Yeah, and if he drove to Shul on Shabbos, so can you. Because walking to Shul is just like too hard. Rav Hutner once mentioned, or spoke about it a bit, is that this generation shouldn't work on Charata. Regret. Regret is not something this generation can really get its teeth into. Yeah, after a little bit on Yom Kippur, about 30 seconds worth of charot in order to do tshuva. But generally speaking, charot is for people who are in touch with themselves, who are besimcha, emotionally well balanced. They can then sort of like do some beating up, you know, some self beating up. But you take a generation that's mamish like lying flat on the ground, and the self esteem, whatever that is on the floor, and you start beating yourself up. You don't produce well balanced, healthy people. Therefore, he felt charot wasn't the first place to start building yourself from. So Rebecca once mentioned this to Rav Kinnerik. So he turned around and said, yeah, but don't write Charotah out of the Torah. We can't work on Charotah never. We're, you know, we're on a low level and we can't work on Charotah, but that doesn't mean that Charotah isn't the ideal that we should be striving for. Don't write Charotah out of the Torah. Don't rewrite the Torah. Just because we're far from that ideal doesn't mean that the ideal changes. The Torah stays where the Torah stays. It's a long journey and it's very far away. And how do you deal with not giving up? Fine, we'll deal with that. But you can't lower the standards. Yeah? That means you can't lower your standards. Forget about the Klal standards. You can't lower your standards. If this is what the ideal is, that's what the ideal is. You better get a sense of real vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands how great you can become, because he's allowing you to reach for that greatness. That's number one. Number two is, don't project yourself further down the path than you really are. It's a very, very common Baal Tshuva thing. The guy becomes a Baal Tshuva, he starts learning all these wonderful things about rolling in the snow, and he reads these Musa books, and about guys who wouldn't take pleasure from their food, so they swallow it whole, and they just start, and guys start, you know, like, obviously understand it, so, you know, it's more subtle, they start dressing up from too quickly, they start changing their clothes, all the superficial stuff starts changing very, very quickly as an attempt to sort of project myself closer to the ideal that I really am. Those two things take you out of, well, the first one takes you out of real, and the other one takes you out of ideal. Staying in real is a hard job. It's not simple. We generally don't like what we see. Otherwise, it wouldn't be real. It would be ideal. And therefore, you have to really get in touch with the Shkofas HaTorah that we were put in this world imperfect. The Vilna Gaon says you came into this world with a lot of broken pieces, and your job is to fix them. And if not, then what are you living for? The Vilna Gaon says, if you're not yet, Masakin Yomidas Alam HaTachayim, what are you living for? So by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put you in this world with all these broken pieces. So when you stop today, you put your button and you freeze time for this moment, and you stop for a second and you go, okay, who am I later? Who am I really? And you put everything into the cholent pot, okay? You have to be able to accept that's who I am, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to serve him now. And you often ask kids, when do you think Hashem wants you to start serving him? Well, when I'm perfect, when I've got over this problem, when I've solved this problem, when I've got this in place, I have to start serving him now. So how do I start serving with all these broken pieces? If you accept the fact that Yisrael, Afal Bihu Chayte Yisrael, that a Jew, even though he sins, he's a Jew, and a Kosh Baruch Hu loves him, Avarabba V'tan, who's talking to everybody. You have to get very, very much in touch with the fact that no matter that there's all these negative things floating around me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and he wants me to continue serving him, and I haven't lost my Olam Haba and I'm still here, da 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 da. You've got to draw that into yourselves. You've got to get that clear. Because otherwise you're going to keep cooking your way out of real. And there's nothing more disturbing to change than kicking yourself out of real. You can't start changing unless you're very grounded in who you really are and you own that. Okay. Once you've done that, then you can start making choices. That's the next step. First step along the journey is acceptance. Awareness first comes from an awareness that something's not right. Then you accept it. Real, healthy acceptance. You're in touch with the ideal, so you know what direction you've got to head out towards. Now what do? So you have to make a choice. This is where hardcore choice comes in. You have to decide that you want to change. The first step in changing something that you've accepted needs changing is a decision that I want to change it. Yeah? You say to an addict, you know, you do an evaluation to find out if someone's an addict or not. So you say to him, do you take drugs? He says yes. You say, do you want to stop? He says yes. You say, why don't you? He says, because I can't. Fine. So he's an addict, right? That's the evaluation 101. Charge about $800 to do an evaluation. Yeah? That's pretty much an evaluation in a nutshell. Yeah. So you say to him, do you want to stop? Really want to stop? So sign up, right? Do you want to sign on the dotted line? You move into the rehab center and you say, no, maybe I'll come back tomorrow. Yeah. So he doesn't really want to stop. So when you want to stop now, then come back. It means you've got to make a choice. I really want to stop smoking. You have to make a healthy, vibrant choice to do something about this. No one else can do that for you. I can help you get in touch with real, I can help you get in touch with ideal, I can help you design a process, we can do all that. But the hardcore decision, yes, I want to change, okay, has to come from you. Now, there are a couple of obstacles to wanting to make a decision about changing. The first one is the problem looks too big. I do want to stop. I do want to do this, but it's just too big. It's too big. I've never been able to do it before. I've tried a lot of times, and it's too big. Yeah, I want to be like Avraham Avinu, but it's just too big. Yeah, I want to stop smoking, but the thought of never having a cigarette in my life is just too big. Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about? Does this resonate a little bit? The problem is just too big. Whatever your problem is, it's just too big. So you have to understand the change, and here you have to get back into acceptance. Real change, solid change, enduring change comes by one step at a time. In Africa, we have a saying, how does the hunter catch a monkey? You ever heard this one before? You see, you can come from the real African jungles that aren't looking. Actually started in Ghana. It's a famous thing in Ghana. They ask, how does a hunter catch a monkey? And the answer is little by little. Yeah. Little by little. The Vilma Goyen says, how do you change? It has to be, says the Goyen, little by little. If you find yourself missing steps along the way, be sure you're going to crash. Leil Hasaid is the one night in the year you let a jump. But be careful, because you have suicide to pay the price for that jump. You're going to pay for it piece by simple piece, by delicate one piece at a time. But on Pesach, you're allowed a leap. That's not a sugya for now. That's a sugya for Pesach. But the process of going from Pesach to Shavuos via Sfiras Haim is a process of leaping on Pesach. That's a whole different shi on its own. Why you allowed a leap? Dafka on Pesach, because Klal Yisrael leaped on Pesach, on Leil Hasaida, Leil Shimurim. You can get away with almost anything on that night in terms of spiritual growth. But you're going to have to step back afterwards, the day after, you're going to have to start slowly piecing that back together again. That's what Sfiras Haim is. It's rebuilding piece by piece what you leap to. So be careful how you jump, because you're going to have to have to pay for that. And then you get back to Shavuos, which is representative of the leap you took, and now you've repieced it and built it piece by piece, but you're always building piece by piece. So very in simple words, what you want to do when you want to change is you have to take one small step out of real in the direction of ideal. That's how you change. Come on. Boring, eh?
No.
Sounds terribly disappointing. That's all I have to do is take one small step out of real in the direction of ideal. Yeah, that's what you have to do. And when you've done that, you have to celebrate.
Give an example.
Yeah, I'll give lots of examples. You can give them yourselves. You can work it out yourself. But
what about, I mean, that's not the complicated part, I think. Maybe it sounds very simple. It's a step back, so that usually get people to just stop the progression, though, right?
We're not there yet. The first thing we've done is we've accepted the real. We're fully in touch with real. We understand exactly what real is. We know that we've tried to stop smoking 500 times. We've never been successful, etc., etc., etc. And we're really in touch with real. We've got a real, good, healthy real. What are you going to do about it? And you do the Israeli national dance. And ain't malasot. The Gemara says, lo yuchol, I can't. So what are you going to do? I'm going to carry on and do what I'm doing, because that's what it is. Healthy. Now, you made a choice. You realize, I don't want to carry on like this. Made a choice. I'm going to take one teeny small step out of real towards ideal, and Hashem will help me, or he won't. If Hashem will help me, then hopefully I'll be able to maintain that one step out of real. And if you won't help me, then you won't. I'm going to slip back into real. I'm going to slip back to where I was in the beginning. If you've worked an acceptance process properly, you won't have that problem. And I'll show you why not. Because real means I can't take one step out of real towards ideal. If I could do that, I would have done that long ago. So I'm relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help me take that first step. And that's why when I take that first step, I have to celebrate. Because that's what halal is. When do we say halal? When a Kodesh Baruch Hu redeems us, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu pulls us out of a mess that we couldn't get out of. Why do you say halal on Chanukah? Because about 15 Ponoviches whipped the whole American army. That's quite big, yeah? That's quite a big step out of real. That's big. Yeah? No, I'm serious. A bunch of Yeshiva Bochim wiped out the biggest army in the world. That took a lot of miracles. When you see miracles, you say halal. When a person wakes up one morning and he sees his old pattern not functioning according to its normal predictable path, that's a miracle, and he has to celebrate. He has to say halal.
Say halal.
Whatever halal means for you. However you say thank you to Hashem, really say thank you for something you really wanted and you got. However you say halal, if you don't like Chazal's version, David HaMelech's version, cook up your own one, the Vakasha. You won't find a better one than David HaMelech's, but until you learn it and understand and know what it means, it's going to be like very distant from you. So cook up your own celebration. Whatever works for you. However you say thank you for a miracle.
Are we celebrating what we've done, or
celebrating? Excellent question. You're celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got involved in your life and helped you take that step out of real. But change that thing that you've accepted, you haven't changed anything. And that's why tomorrow when you slip back, you're not disappointed. Because your acceptance tells you, watch this carefully, if my step out of real was a miracle, yeah? So who says Hashem has to do a miracle for me tomorrow? Remember the guy that was in denial? He gets disappointed when he slips back. Why? Because he thought he'd really done it. Of course I can do this. So then tomorrow he does it. He says, yeah, you see, I did it. There's nothing to celebrate there. He just did what he did. Pats himself on his back. And what happens the next day when he doesn't do it? He's disappointed because he failed again. A person who's in healthy acceptance and Hashem does a miracle for him, hey, he does a miracle. He thanks Hashem for the miracle and it's gavaldic and he celebrates it. But if Hashem chooses tomorrow not to do the miracle for him, there's no disappointment. He's just back in real. That's where he was. What's predictable here? The test here is I'll introduce you to a new concept. Bechira requires or presupposes or I don't know what the word is. I can't find it now. I'm a bit mobile. Bechira means unpredictability. When you find yourself doing something unpredictable, that's when you celebrate. Because if it was you just playing out the old pattern, that would be predictable, right? What am I going to do this morning? What's my day going to look like? Based on yesterday and the last 30 years of track record, very easy to predict what your day is going to look like. Go through your day and ask yourself, what happened on this day that I couldn't have predicted? Those are the landmarks where Kodesh Baruch Hu is interfering in your life. That's where you celebrate.
For good or bad?
You did something bad, unpredictable. That's where the Yetzer Hara is interfering in your life, and you better wake up fast. It's coming to get you. No, we're talking about positive benefits here. I mean, you're right. That's another subject. But I just want to focus on the positive changes that we're making in our lives. You'll find resistance, by the way. When you start making positive inroads into this journey, you will find enormous resistance. Just get this one clear. We'll speak about this later. This is number 4 or 5 on the series. But I think I've never done this before, so I don't know where this is going to go. But you must know one thing, that the old pattern, okay, is fighting very hard to reinstate itself. In other words, what we're trying to do when we change is change an existing pattern. Correct? Does that make sense? You have an elastic band, a gummy, whatever you call them here. You're trying to change it. Now, have you noticed something about gummies? When you let go, you know what happens? Boing. That's what our inner world looks like when we try and change. It takes a long time to solidify. We have to start. It takes a long time for that change to get banked, where you can rely on it and you can say, okay, that's it. That's now there. We've reached a new plateau. Let's move on to the next step. You find the Yetzer Hara. What happens is you take a step out of real and it feels gavaldic and you manage to hold it for a while and you think, well, that's great. The Yetzer Hara comes along and says, hey, you're holding in a new level. Let's use that new level to springboard to the next level. What happens? You crash. These new levels that you achieve have to be consolidated, and it's hard because they seem so small and they seem so pithy that they don't seem worthwhile holding on to. He works in the same way as well. The little avera he got you to do, the little infringement he got you to do, the little few minutes you came late for dubbing, the little things like that, you don't think they're so important, so you don't fight them. I spoke about that on Chanukah. He just makes little pinchy inroads. You have to fight in the same way. You have to make little pinchy inroads. Because Hashem promises us, if you open for me Pesach Kachudosh HaMachat, if you open for me a pinprick, Hashem says, I'll fight the battle. And anybody who's ever stepped into this war knows that that's how it works. It's miraculous. You know that. Any Baal Tshuva knows that. What are you doing learning Rashi? What do you do? How did you get to where you got to? It's miraculous. You took a few steps and HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea for you. That's what happened in Kriyas Yam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening and Hashem says, now's not the time to daven, swim! He says, swim. No one knew how to swim. There was no one in that group that had ever had swimming lessons. Swim men jump into the sea and drown. So what did they do? They jumped in. What happened? The sea split. And if it didn't, they would have drowned. You must try and give this shiur in a rehab center where you're facing a bunch of heroin addicts. Okay, we haven't got a clue how they're going to stop. I've done this. Spoken about this often. It's all miracle, Rabbi Sa. And you have to know how to grasp that miracle and celebrate it. But you can't do that if you haven't accepted the reality of your situation. Okay, to be continued. Yo.